Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll discuss hospice care at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, and we'll learn about the Air Force Association. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
One of our biggest challenges, after more than a decade of multiple deployments and economic hardships, has been helping our service members move forward and grow in spite of the adversity they face. Every person is different in the way they react to stress, but resilience is a skill that can be taught. Giving resilience training to our military members and their families provides them with a set of tools to use when dealing with problems in their everyday lives. The Minnesota National Guard has trained master resilience trainers and resilience training assistants throughout our units to teach these important skills to our force. Resilience training focuses on improved problem solving and communication skills, strengthening relationships, and focusing on the positives rather than the negatives in everyday situations. The program addresses five dimensions of soldier fitness: physical, emotional, social, family, and spiritual. Better training is just one of the ways we hope to impact the mental health of our service members. We're also working to change perceptions in our organization so that service members feel comfortable coming forward with their problems without the fear of a stigma or reprisal. Help is out there for our service members and their families. So many programs and organizations exist to help veterans who are struggling. I encourage everyone to reach out and take advantage of these services. Resilient service members make better, stronger leaders for our force.
As we said earlier, today we're going to talk about hospice care at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. And the mission there is to provide excellent, compassionate care to veterans with advanced disease, support for their families, help relieve suffering, and promote dignity throughout the course of their illness. And joining us now to talk about that is Christopher Hardwig, an MD from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Doctor, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Doctor, I understand that you're a graduate of St. Olaf College?
Correct.
And where did you go to medical school?
North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
North Carolina. And were you in practice out there for a while after you graduated?
Actually, after graduation, studied family medicine for a while, lived in East Africa for 6 years, and then was in practice in family medicine in New York State near Buffalo for about 10 years. That's when I started doing hospice work.
All right, doctor. And were you doing the hospice work when you were in Cape Town, South Africa?
No, that was, well, eventually, yes. After our sojourn in New York, we were asked to go back to East Africa and spent 7 years working to set up hospice palliative care teams throughout the country of Tanzania. Ended up in Cape Town studying a master's in palliative medicine.
And you were accompanied by your wife, who's a nurse?
Yeah, yeah.
That had to be an interesting 7 years.
Yes.
And that's all we get to hear, doctor.
A remarkable opportunity. It was a tremendous opportunity, and we're so grateful we had it.
Now, were they in Tanzania and South Africa? Had they heard of hospice care? Were they doing any of that when you were there?
Not so much. Different context. Every country that has established care for people near the end of life, it translates differently. And at this time, 10 years ago in Tanzania, it was about HIV/AIDS. Young families, communities, trying to figure out how to work with young people dying and economic and social distress accompanying that terrific challenge. Very different than our experience learning hospice in the U.S.
And, doctor, in 2014, you had a chance to come back to the United States and moved back home to Minnesota.
Well, actually, we've been here even since 2011, 2012. So, yes, we've been back in the U.S. and I've been working at the Minneapolis VA since, that's about 4.5 years now, with their hospice palliative care team.
And at the Minneapolis VA, you are the medical director of hospice and palliative care. Can you tell us hospice? Can you explain for our listeners what is hospice care and when is it appropriate?
For a lot of people, hospice is the H word. You don't want to talk about it or hear it. It's the kind of care we don't want to have to get or our loved one to get. And yet, When we are super sick and our loved one is, it's the best care there is. Really, it's an approach to people and their families who may not have long to live that emphasizes quality of life, reduction of symptoms, reduction of suffering in all the global ways people can suffer. And usually it's for people with months to live.
We're speaking with Dr. Christopher Hartwig from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Doctor, I was reading on the website, said hospice care is for people who have an advanced life-limiting illness. It's end-of-life care, essentially, when there's no other alternatives. Is that correct, usually?
Usually. We joke a bit. We live in the gray world in palliative medicine and hospice. Things are seldom black and white. But with the way hospice is set up in our society, it's a Medicare benefit. It's a benefit. It's a system established to help people and families who really, you're right, don't have many other options, usually not getting other life-prolonging or disease-shortening or altering cares, people who perhaps need to be at home during this last bit of time, whatever it may be.
Doctor, can we just, before we get in too far, can we kind of define the difference between hospice care and palliative care? A lot of people have heard that term palliative care, but my guess is a lot of them don't really understand how that differs or how it's alike with hospice care.
Number of ways to answer that, and it's a core question. Medical people ask us this all the time. I like to think of it, hospice is really kind of like an insurance benefit. Medicare established what hospice means in 1982, and that hasn't changed up till now. It's meant for people with 6 months or less to live, as certified by at least two physicians, and for whom disease-oriented care is no longer really an option or appropriate. Best for home care. Palliative care, on the other hand, doesn't have months as a limitation. Palliative care can be early on in a disease, at some crucial juncture where tough decisions have to be made, and is usually hospital or facility-based. But in every case, it's a team. It's orienting towards quality of life, helping people through tough times.
So just to try to rephrase this, the hospice care is end-of-life care of the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. There's really not many alternatives. Palliative care is dealing with some serious diseases that mm-hmm. probably aren't going to go away, and the decisions that you make concerning those diseases to keep the best quality of life that you can have and to determine what your options are and to mm-hmm. extend it to, as far as comfortably possible.
Yeah, that's good. Working alongside oncologists or heart specialists or...
So on the palliative care side, then you're kind of the guide and show them what their options might be and talk to the patients and try to determine what they want to do and how and show them the best way?
We go alongside people. We try to figure out where they're at, get alongside them, and then help them interpret the options that are there in a realistic way that makes sense for them based on their individual family goals and values.
Well, then maybe more of an interpreter is a better word than guide, but to help them on the journey nonetheless.
That's a very good way to put it.
Doctor, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about the hospice care and palliative care services at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system for our veterans. We're going to take a short break. We've been talking to Christopher Hartwig from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system about hospice and palliative care. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Baseball is part of the fabric of American life. One of the American Legion's most successful programs through the years has been Legion Baseball. In Minnesota, we have over 325 teams in nearly every community in the state, involving about 5,000 student athletes. Five of our Minnesota teams have won the National World Series. This is Peggy Moon, past department commander of the American Legion. Check out your local team and come to a game. It's some of the best baseball you'll ever see.
The College of St. Scholastica Veteran to BS in Nursing builds on the skills acquired in the military to prepare for a career in nursing. Students receive personalized academic assessment and support. St. Scholastica offers generous financial aid, including Yellow Ribbon and other benefit programs. 89% of CSS nursing grads are employed as nurses 4 to 6 months after graduation. For more information, visit css.edu/vetbsnursing or call 218-723-5944.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today about hospice and palliative care at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, and we've been discussing that with Dr. Christopher Hartwig. And the mission there is to provide excellent, compassionate care to veterans with advanced disease, support their families, help relieve suffering, and promote dignity through the course of their illness. And Doctor, we talked a little bit earlier about hospice care is usually the end-of-life care that you can provide a veteran, and the palliative care is more for a veteran that has a serious disease that's probably not going away, and to help them find options to deal with it. But I'm curious now on the, let's start with hospice care. You've got a lot of information on your website, and we've been talking about that in the first segment. How do you provide the hospice care, and is it usually provided for the veterans at home?
Yes, it usually is. Most people, given the option, if it turns out they're going to be dying, would rather be at home. And to help support that, if it's actually where they're at in their disease process and so forth, hospice agencies in the community are, that's what they do. Our hospital and all veteran hospitals contract with community hospices and work with those agencies so that care is given. If it doesn't work out at home, then the VA works with you to figure out an option, either to come into the hospital and have care there or some other long-term care environment if being at home doesn't work.
So, Doctor, who's eligible for hospice care from the Minneapolis VA?
Well, our general eligibility is like the community eligibility, someone who probably has 6 months or less to live. Somebody whose goals of care now are more aligned to quality of life and perhaps hoping to be home. Those are people eligible. Working through primary care, working with our hospice coordinator, we can figure out if indeed, according to your illness, you might be eligible and then connect you with a hospice agency.
So for our veterans that are already enrolled in the VA, mm-hmm. All they have to do is go to the VA healthcare system website or get a hold of their primary care provider or have their family get a hold of them, say we're having trouble, mm-hmm. He's no longer able to help himself, we need some help, those type of things, and then someone from your office gets involved at that point. How does that work?
Well, going through primary care is a great place to start because that'll be your care team who knows, is this the right care for you now? Because if it isn't, then you'll end up hearing, well, maybe later. But if it is the right thing, then talking with directly with the hospice team will make sense as well. Starting with primary care, getting hold of our coordinator, numbers on the website, that can work very well.
So, Doctor, when you meet a patient that needs some hospice care, if you were involved with them, is the most important thing is to sit down and talk to them and see where they're at and listen and see what it is they want to do? How does that work? How can you successfully be involved as a doctor in hospice care?
I think you summed it up really well. We start off by meeting with someone, with their family if possible, and then listening. You know, what matters right now? What's the sort of source of suffering right now? What are the goals? What can be done? And then this becomes our job after listening and understanding. What can be done to achieve those goals? What can be done to reduce the suffering? Is it pain medication? Is it getting more help at home? Is it getting social work or psychology involved to facilitate a meeting with family or even another specialist?
Doctor, in our discussions before we went on the air and even on the air, you seem very passionate about providing good hospice care and palliative care. Does it wear you out? Is it tiring, or do you find joy in it?
Well, as we discussed, if we get, it's easy to get worn out with emotional stuff, and this is emotional stuff. And yet, it's a kind of work that every interaction, every minute, every sentence matters a lot. And what a privilege to be a part of people's lives in such a critical time, a vulnerable time. We get amazing feedback and, wow, the interesting, sometimes terrible, but often lovely to the situations that people are in. We get to enter into people's worlds in a way that medicine often isn't allowed to. It's very special. I do love the work. It's very special.
And you get a chance to help them on that final journey and make sure that you pay attention to what's important to them one at a time and yeah. provide that kind of care and help.
Yeah. It's and you know, we work as a team. It's nursing, social workers, psychology. There's a lot of folks. We try to do things together. None of us can meet the whole needs of a person, as you might imagine.
We're speaking with Dr. Christopher Hartwig from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System about hospice and palliative care on Minnesota Military Radio. The doctor, on the palliative care, well, that's one that's a little harder to describe, but that is one where there's some kind of a major problem or disease or something that's probably not going away, and patients need some help to figure out what options do I have. And do you provide the palliative care health as inpatients? Do they come to the medical center for that as opposed to being at home for the hospice care?
We do. We have an inpatient consulting team, nurse practitioners, myself. We get to involve social work, psychology. So, for example, if a veteran's going through a course of treatment for cancer and things aren't going well, it's often helpful to start hearing options about which way to go. Because that can be a time when we don't know as medical specialists which path is the best. So it depends on the individual's circumstance what course to take. And sometimes the gentler approach of less aggressive care ends up being the best approach. And we try to help people navigate that.
Doctor, we've all heard of and had friends who've suffered from cancer, and they all struggle with the radiation. Do I take it? The chemotherapy, do I take it? Some of those cures can be worse than the disease, and it's an individual choice, isn't it? Should I go through all that pain and suffering, or should I see how much time I've got left and make the most of the time? And is those some of the issues you get into in the palliative care side?
Completely. Those are core issues. They are tough.
And there's no right or wrong, is there?
Correct.
So it's up to the individual to make good choices and to learn the options, understand the options, and then make a good, careful choice.
As best we can.
So on the palliative care side, whatever the disease might be, whatever those issues might be, you and all of the rest of the people at the VA are there to help them, once again, be the interpreter, the guide, show them what their options are, and make sure that they understand it before they make a choice to go one way or another, or maybe change their mind partway through.
Right. That happens.
So, Doctor, how many veterans at any given time are in the palliative care side of it? I know the director has told us you've got about 100,000 people in Minnesota, veterans that are enrolled in the VA healthcare system. And I've seen some veterans out there that don't look like they're in very good shape. There's probably a few of them having some tough times.
There are a lot of folks having tough times. And actually, it's a challenge in our health system to have enough specialists like palliative care, like geriatrics, to meet all those needs. So we count on primary care to do a lot of basic palliative care and then refer the harder cases, the harder situations to us. People in remote facilities, some of the community-based outreach clinics, we can use telemedicine and access them via that.
So you work hand-in-hand with the primary care doctors and nurses, and if they've got a patient that's maybe confused or doesn't understand or needs some more information, then they call you in and you try to help them with that decision and help them with that journey.
Yeah, we do. And one thing, you know, hospice, as rough a situation word as it is, in the VA system, even more than with Medicare, you become a VIP if you're a hospice guy or gal. You know, you need that care. You go to the head of the line. Your copays go away. More care is allowed to come into the home. You get long-term care options appear. If you aren't previously enrolled, there's a fast track to get enrolled into the VA system. It's such an appropriate way to treat people who are near the end of their journey and who've served us in such a special way.
So for our listeners, if there's a veteran out there that's in need of hospice or palliative care and you're enrolled in the VA system already, all you need to do is talk to your primary care provider and they can get you referred to the appropriate help. Mm-hmm. And if you're not in the VA system, then go visit your county veteran service officer.
Yes.
Get them informed, get through the fast track system. There's help available.
Yeah.
And they can find that at We Honor Veterans. You can go to the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and check out their website. You can talk to your primary care provider. And as we've said many, many times on this show, your county veteran service officer, there's one in every county. They know how to get to this type of care for any of our veterans who might need hospice or palliative care. Doctor, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Hospice is related to hospitality, and it's such a privilege to offer and receive hospitality to people who've given so much of themselves, not just to our country and military service, but just in a way of living out their lives and allowing us to be a part. We're very grateful for that. Thanks.
Doctor, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
This is Dr. Christopher Hartwig from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System talking about hospice and palliative care. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll learn about the Air Force Association. Today's Yellow Ribbon Company Spotlight is Elite Minnesota Power. As the first Yellow Ribbon Company headquartered in Duluth, Elite Minnesota Power has provided strong support in the Duluth area and beyond to veterans, service members, and their families. The leaders at Minnesota Power have established a lasting legacy of support for military-connected employees, committed to strong veteran hiring procedures, and partnered with military support organizations in the community. Elite Minnesota Power has been a Yellow Ribbon Company since May 2016 and is honored and proud to be making a difference to service members, veterans, and their families.
The College of St. Scholastica Veteran to BS in Nursing builds on the skills acquired in the military to prepare for a career in nursing. Students receive personalized academic assessment and support. St. Scholastica offers generous financial aid, including Yellow Ribbon and other benefit programs. 89% of CSS nursing grads are employed as nurses 4 to 6 months after graduation. For more information, visit css.edu/vetbsnursing or call 218-723-5944.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn all about the General E.W. Rawlings chapter of the Air Force Association here in Minneapolis. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Chalateau.
Today I want to spend a few moments recognizing fathers across Minnesota. These dads might be veterans, they might be currently serving, returning home from a deployment, or they might have suffered the loss of their son or daughter in service to this country. Whatever your situation, I want to thank you for the role you have played in the lives of our children and families across Minnesota. Actions speak volumes about love and commitment, and simply being there sets the example and grounds our children. This Father's Day, I encourage dads to spend time instilling the importance of service and volunteering to the community, to those in need, and to this country. This is the time to demonstrate to our children the power of serving others. Not only does it help our children grow and develop into generous and caring adults, it also gives back. On behalf of everyone here at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the veterans across this great state, best wishes for a wonderful and meaningful day of celebration.
Thank you, Commissioner Chalateau. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. The General E.W. Rawlings chapter of the Air Force Association is a charitable veterans organization. Funds raised in the Minneapolis-St. Paul community are spent to educate in science, technology, and math. They financially assist Air Force families, homeless veterans, local aerospace and veterans organizations, and they support the United States Air Force programs in high schools and universities. They recognize excellence in our local Air Force and aerospace industry. And joining me now to talk about the E.W. Rawlings chapter of the Air Force Association is Chapter President and Vice President of Government Relations, Dan Murphy. Dan, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Dan, I understand you've been involved in sales in the DOD industry for many years.
Yes, I have about 20 years of experience selling primarily inertial products into the Air Force and Navy and Army applications.
And was it through that work that you got involved in the Air Force Association?
That's correct. I was going to trade shows in Orlando and Washington, D.C. for the Air Force Association, and got to see some of the speakers at the symposium and technology demonstrations. So it was very interesting to me. And during one of my career transitions, I became active in the Air Force Association and was invited to be a leader in the chapter and accepted that offer.
And it appears that you must be a hometown boy because you're a graduate of St. John's University.
Yes, I was born and raised in New Hope. We did a few transitions with my father while he was in his career, but I came back to Minnesota, go to St. John's University, and graduated in 1980.
And you got involved in the Air Force Association. Now, who put you in a position where you volunteered to be chapter president, Dan?
Well, the chapter president at that time was Vic Sievers. And after I went to two consecutive meetings, he stopped me and said, "What are you interested in?" And I told him what I was interested in. He says, "Well, congratulations, you're now the vice president of government relations." And so I've been doing that since 2006.
And what all does that entail?
Primarily what it involves is being connected with the United Veterans Legislative Council in Minnesota here, and also interacting with state politicians, legislatures, senators. And also every year when I go to the convention, I'll stop and go to the offices of our congressional delegation.
So do you work in conjunction with the local veteran service organizations on veterans legislation here in Minnesota?
Yes, that's the mission of the United Veterans Legislative Council. They pull together interests of all groups that have legislative issues, and they try to pull together those issues and present them in a logical manner. And we support them with financial contributions and then also some time.
So after he roped you into being vice president of government relations, how long did it take him to have you volunteer to be chapter president?
Well, let's see. I've been president now for a year, so close to 9 years.
So he got you, and he kept coming to the meetings, and so you kept getting new titles.
That's correct, and he moved himself to Houston, Texas. So right now he's a member of our chapter but not active in the leadership anymore. So his plan worked well.
All right, so you're at chapter president, so I think you better enlighten our listeners now. Tell us about the Air Force Association, its purpose and objectives.
Yes, I'll talk a little bit about the mission of the Air Force Association itself. The mission is to promote a dominant United States Air Force, strong national defense, and to honor airmen and our Air Force heritage. To accomplish this, we educate, advocate, and support on behalf of the total Air Force family. As you said, we are a IRS Code 501c3 organization. We're independent of the military itself, so what we really strive to do is provide professional military and aerospace education to promote public understanding of air power and the pivotal role it plays in the security of the nation.
Now, Dan, I understand there's a chapter here in the Twin Cities, and there's another chapter up in Duluth. Is that right?
That's correct. We're in the Twin Cities here. We hold our meetings down close to the airport, and their second chapter is named after Major Richard I. Bong. He was a World War II ace, and he was from Poplar, Wisconsin, which is near Duluth. So that's their chapter.
So how many members do you have here in the Twin Cities?
In the Twin Cities, we have about 740 members. In Duluth, they have another 180 members. So we're close to 1,000 strong right now.
And who's eligible to be a member of the Air Force Association?
Everyone is eligible. As long as they have an interest in aerospace, they're invited to participate.
So they don't have to be an Air Force or an Air National Guard veteran?
That's correct. No Air Force or Air National Guard experience necessary. If you have an interest in aerospace, we'd love to have you as a member.
Now, as a member, if I was to think about becoming a member of the Air Force Association, what would I do? What are your goals? Who do you support, and why is it a good thing?
Yes, that's a very good question. We really focus, as you mentioned in the beginning, on science, technology, engineering, and mathematics to try to prepare the future members of the Air Force with the education that they need. And so we do a lot of work with, as an example, the St. Thomas Academy has an experimental vehicle program that we help fund them for. We provide funding to the ROTC organizations at both the University of Minnesota and St. Thomas University, especially the focus is on aerospace education there. There is a school in Blaine that we provide funding for. It's called the University Aerospace Children Engineering and Science School. It's in Blaine, Minnesota, and the whole school from K through 5 is focused on curriculum centered around aerospace education. So we provided funding to them.
We're speaking with Dan Murphy, the chapter president of the Rawlings chapter of the Air Force Association on Minnesota Military Radio. Dan, before we get into much further, who was General Rawlings? And he's the name of your chapter. Can you tell us a little about him?
Sure. General Edwin Rawlings, he was born in southwestern Minnesota, in the city of Milroy. He was born in 1907. He was appointed as a flying cadet in 1929 and commissioned as a second lieutenant in the Army Air Corps Officers Reserves. And then 1 year later, he was appointed into the Air Corps of the Regular Army. So this is in the 1930 time frame. By the start of World War II, he had served in Hawaii, Texas, and Ohio. During the war, he spent most of his time working on budgeting and scheduling of critical wartime production programs. After the war, he created a new office in the Air Force called the Comptroller of the Air Force. So he really focused on budgeting and scheduling. In 1956, he headed a board which reviewed the Air Force's educational programs. This board made several recommendations to expand the educational programs and incentivize people to attend the scientific courses. And because our chapter has that special emphasis on promoting science, technology, engineering, and mathematics education for children of Minnesota, I believe this is why there's a connection that led to the chapter being named in his honor.
So the general was in the Air Force for a long time, started off in the Brown Shoe Air Force, part of the Army.
That's correct.
And stuck around to see it become an independent part of the military, the United States Air Force.
That's correct. And it's not known by a lot of people, but the Air Force Association itself was started in 1946 by Jimmy Doolittle and his desire to carry the civilian life into the civilian life, the bonds that held together the 3 million men and women of the Air Force. But the Air Force itself started September 18, 1947, so we preceded the Air Force.
So as an association, the Air Force Association, you probably get some information from national that you can disseminate to your members about what's going on in Congress. And then, of course, here in Minnesota, you participate in legislative activities as well.
That's correct. That's correct.
Dan, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about what you do as here as a local chapter of the E.W. Rawlings of the United States of the Air Force Association. We're speaking with Dan Murphy on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
The College of St. Scholastica Veteran BS in Nursing builds on the skills acquired in the military to prepare for a career in nursing. Students receive personalized academic assessment and support. St. Scholastica offers generous financial aid, including Yellow Ribbon and other benefit programs. 89% of CSS nursing grads are employed as nurses 4 to 6 months after graduation. For more information, visit css.edu/vetbsnursing or call 218-723-5944.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been speaking to Dan Murphy, who is the Chapter President and Vice President of Government Relations for the E.W. Rawlings Chapter of the Air Force Association, which is a charitable veterans organization that financially assists Air Force families, homeless veterans, local aerospace and veterans organizations, and supports the United States Air Force programs in high schools and universities. And Dan, we've been talking about how you showed up at several meetings and got voluntold to be the Vice President of Government Relations and stuck around for that and ended up being the chapter president. Can you tell us a little bit, what are some of the programs offered by your chapter that your members get excited about?
Yeah, we have a monthly meeting. So every month we get together on the second Tuesday of the month, and we have speakers that talk about programs of interest, whether it's a historical topic, maybe a topic that's of interest to industry, or we have an Air Force total force topic. We've had Congressman Tom Ember speak at one of the meetings. We've had staff representatives speak from Senator Klobuchar's office and Congressman John Klein's office. We've had representatives from the Air Force Reserve, 934th Airlift Wing, and the Minnesota National Guard, 133rd Airlift Wing, that they speak to our chapter. You know, every February, we have a special program on the Tuskegee Airmen to honor one of our longtime chapter members, Colonel Ken Wolford. The other thing, our premier program is our annual awards dinner. The purpose of the dinner is to recognize outstanding performers from our Air Force community. We'll typically honor 20 to 25 people who make the best contributions in aerospace in our chapter's coverage area. You know, the other thing I'd like to mention is we have two programs that are offered by AFA National. They're offered to a combination of high school and middle school students. The first is called Cyber Patriot. What it is it's really a competition that teaches people how to defend computer networks. The second is a new program. It's called Stellar Explorers. There, they teach kids with hands-on training how to handle a challenging space systems design competition. That program is actually sponsored by Orbital ATK, is really local to our community here.
Great program and a good sponsor for that. Dan, upcoming events. What's coming up for the rest of 2016?
Well, we're going to have informational booths at Air Expo 2016 at Flying Cloud Airport. That'll be in July. We'll support the 934th Airlift Wing Family Day, the 133rd Airlift Wing Family Day, and we'll be at the Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair.
So you've got some activities coming up this year?
Yes, we do.
Now, I see that you support some scholarships. You're supporting some of these other programs. How do you raise funds?
Well, we raise funds from contributions through the community. We have a extensive organization that's focused on donations. So we gather donations from companies that are interested in Air Force family. And we generally have about $25,000 a year that we donate out to other organizations in need.
So the local chapter, the E.W. Rawlings chapter of the Air Force Association, is a charitable foundation?
That's correct, 501c3.
501c3 with the IRS letter, so if people want to donate, they can put it in there, and it's deductible, and you'll put it to good use, taking care of some students and a number of other organizations here in Twin Cities.
That's absolutely correct, yes.
Your members have to feel pretty good about that.
Our members really, really enjoy that part of it, yep.
Dan, while we're on that, why don't you tell me again who can belong to the Air Force Association, and where can they find out more information?
Yeah, anyone can belong to the Air Force Association. Typically, people will register either online through www.afa.com or our chapter site, which is www.mnafa.org. Excuse me, both of those are organizations, so .org.
Or you can just go Google Rawlings Chapter of the Air Force Association and find it like I did this morning. It comes up pretty easy.
That's correct.
So you don't have to have been in the Air Force or the Air National Guard, but you should have some kind of interest in aerospace or flying or Air Force or something along those lines.
That's correct. We have a lot of members from Civil Air Patrol. We have a lot of members from the ROTC programs. We have a lot of members from Air Force Reserve, Air National Guard, and a lot of members just from industry. Some have had military backgrounds, some haven't, like myself.
Okay, Dan, we've got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
All I can say is if you're interested in supporting the Air Force family here in the Twin Cities, it's a great organization to accomplish that goal.
Dan, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Dan Murphy, the chapter president and vice president of government relations for the E.W. Rawlings chapter of the Air Force Association. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhard. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Tim, you're usually in the studio, but I understand you got caught and you had to work a little later today, so it's good to hear you on the phone.
Oh, we all have to work every once in a while.
Yeah, and it's a nice day in the sunshine, and so I'm sure you'd rather be out on that two-wheeled horse.
Oh, yes, definitely.
So tell me, how's things going for the Minnesota Patriot Guard Riders?
Pretty good. We've got lots of missions coming in. We've got things going on. We've got Patriot Ride coming up. We've got a whole lot of stuff. You know, if we've got, we're always looking for volunteers. So if anybody out there wants to volunteer, they're sure are welcome. Just go to mnpatriotguard.org and look up on the calendar, and you'll see all the stuff that we got going on. And you're welcome to join us at any one of them.
And this time of year, you're pretty happy because you're not driving around in a cage.
Oh, absolutely.
So you're putting a lot of miles on that motorcycle?
I am.
As many as you can.
As many as I can. I got a new truck, and it's sitting in the driveway.
And you're happy about that?
I am.
And I bet a lot of your riders are, too.
Oh, now, yeah.
Tim, we've talked about this before. The misconception is that the Minnesota Patriot Guard riders, a bunch of old Vietnam vets like me, they like to ride around on their motorcycles.
No.
Not true, is it?
It's not true. There's people there from all walks of life. We're all there for the same thing, show honor, dignity, and respect to our fallen heroes.
And tell us again about the missions you go on.
Well, we do missions of funerals as invited guests. We are invited to welcome homes when the busloads of soldiers come home, or when they come home on a plane, we're there to meet them. The other way, too, is when they're deploying, we're there to send them off and wish them well and show them that the people that they're here protecting really do care about them.
And you go visit some of the veterans' homes, too, don't you?
We do. At least once a month, we're out visiting just about every veterans' home in Minnesota. At some point, we do bingos, and we do barbecues, and we even do bike shows at the vets' homes for the vets to come out and vote on their bikes.
I'll bet they love that.
Oh, they do.
They probably want to get on it right away.
Well, they at least want to get on them.
I'm sure you've given one or two of them a ride, haven't you?
Well, we used to. It's a little hard because the administrators, if we could get by them, we would do it.
We got to be careful with those guys now.
Yes, they do. They're precious. We don't want to injure any one of them.
Tim, in a few weeks, you've got your biggest annual event coming up called the Patriot Ride.
We do.
Tell me about it.
We're hoping this year it's going to be the largest ever.
And that's up at the Anoka County Airport, is that where it is?
It is, Anoka County Airport. It's at the Key Air facility, which is on the north end of the airport.
And find more information on that, they go to thepatriotride.org.
Yep, .org.
So that's different from the main website, so it's yep. thepatriotride.org.
Yeah, there is a link on our webpage, mnpatriotguard.org. If you look on the left side, it'll say... About halfway down, it says Patriot Ride. If you click on that, it'll take you there, too.
And if they want to ride in the Patriot Ride, they should probably sign up now?
Yes. Yep. Registration is open. If they register online ahead of time, it's $25 per rider, or I should say driver, and then per passenger, it's $10.
And for our families that just want to go see a couple few thousand motorcycles all running at the same time, it's a pretty fun family day, and you've got some food and some other things up there.
It is. We'll have some vintage airplanes there. We'll have a motorcycle show, which is Donnie Smith puts on. We'll have all kinds of new stuff this year. It's going to be a great time. We're looking to see if we can get, last year we had almost 3,500. Motorcycle to leave all at one time. This time we're looking at 5,000.
And you have a little raffle up there. Are you raffling off some old pick-em-up truck?
Yeah. No, we've got a nice motorcycle or $15,000 in cash.
Yeah, well, I guess I could take the cash if I win, but I know you'd take that motorcycle.
I think you should be out on a motorcycle, Tom.
Well, we'll talk about that another day, Tim. But the Patriot Ride coming up July 9th. Go check it out, thepatriotride.org. Tim, thanks for joining us today, and thank all of the Minnesota Patriot Guard riders for all of the missions they go on.
Thank you, sir.
This is Tim Leonhardt from the Flag Line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dr. Christopher Hartwig, Dan Murphy, Tim Leonhardt, Commissioner Larry Shelleteau of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk to about the Forgotten Wars, Frozen Chosen, and hear the National Governors Association Licensing and Certification Policy Academy. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.